No two companies are alike. That's why the American Express Corporate Program can help you customize rewards, reporting, and billing options, all designed for your business. Build your program with American Express at americanexpress.com/corporate. Terms apply.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Streamed and Screened, an entertainment podcast about movies and TV from Lee Enterprises. I'm Terry Lipschitz, managing editor of the national newsroom at Lee, and co-host of the program with Bruce Miller, a longtime entertainment reporter. And Oscar nominations are out. We are celebrating great movies like Wicked and all of its nominations. And the Springsteen movie, Deliver Me From Nowhere, that cleaned up. So, wow. Wow.
Don't you think they're sending a message? I think there's a clear message is being sent.
I agree.
I'm not sure exactly what it is, but I think the money grab is against Wicked's favor. Because Wicked should have been nominated for something and got nothing. And that's, you know, Ariana Grande was good. And they had people in there, you can't pronounce their names, that are nominated for the Best Supporting Actress. So, you know, there was an effort there made to kind of give them a jab. And they wrote two new songs for Wicked for Good. One of them should have gotten in, particularly when they've got two songs nominated from documentaries. And not that I'll go on a rant, but when you look at that song category, they had a lot of blue chip performers who were writing songs for films, and nothing. There's no John Mayer in there. There's no Miley Cyrus in there. You know, so I think they're a little more astute than I thought they were.
Yes. I think what we see here, now I've seen Wicked, the musical, twice, and I saw, of course, last year's part one, this year's part two. First off, I think Wicked is a good musical. I thought the first half, the first act of Wicked, was very good. And I also thought the second act was not so good. I mean, it's not terrible, but it just, you know, the first half if you've ever seen the Broadway show, you would know it's just like really good and they come out strong. And it kind of fades a bit at the end. You know, it I feel like the it drags on a little bit, and it's just, the story is just not as good as I had hoped for. So the same thing happens with the movie, where the first film was effectively part one, act one of the Broadway show, expanded with new things. And then, of course, the second film is more like act two, and again, expanded with some new things, new songs and all that. But you're already, you know, if the first movie kind of didn't do as great with awards last year, I don't know why anyone would have thought that the second one would do better, considering that the second act of the musical isn't as good as the first act. So it's already working from behind. I think it was just a terrible, terrible, terrible idea to split this movie into two. Just do, you know, do one long movie. Do I mean, if you really think you need to go super long, do one 3.5-hour movie. I know none of us want to sit through that, but I would have rather had, but you know, it was like, I would have rather had a single very long movie than two separate long movies, you know, that were probably four plus hours long. Just put it all together, give us a movie, be done with it. But they decided, you know, we want to cash in on here. This is a cash cow. This is a money grab. And I think the Academy was basically said, yeah, you know, okay, you can have your cash cow, but we're not going to reward you for that.
You know, I was surprised that there are some technical categories where it could have been nominated easily.
Yes, costume design.
They added the casting award this year, and they didn't have it last year. So here would be a place where they could have given it a nomination. But they're sending a message. It's, we don't like you. Don't pull this crap on us again. We're good. Meanwhile, Sinners got the most nominations ever, 16. And that movie was released early in the year, April. And it hung on a long time. Now, the other thing that comes with that is that it's part of Warner Brothers, which also has one battle after another. So is this some kind of inner struggle that they're pushing? I don't know. But Sinners, I don't know, deserved 16 nominations. Yeah. I mean, it's good, but it's not 16. Better than all-time record holder All About Eve, Titanic, and La La Land for the most nominations? I don't think so. It's because they added new categories that they qualified for.
Sure. Yeah, I haven't had a chance to see Sinners yet. I know you spoke very highly of it when we spoke about it early. Yep.
But it's basically a horror film. It's about vampires.
Right.
All right, is that really what they want to send a message about? I don't know.
Yeah, that's kind of interesting.
Ryan Coogler is talented, and he'll probably be, I bet he'll win in the writing categories. I think that's where Sinners will get its due. But I can't imagine that it would win 16. Well, it can't, because some of those categories, they've got more than one person in the nomination. So we'll see.
Yeah. Now, one battle after another, that seems to be high on everyone's list. It just hit HBO Max or HBO, whatever they're calling themselves now these days. So it's in my watch list. I was going to try to watch it this past weekend, but I ran out of time. So I'll probably check it out this weekend. I'm a huge fan of Paul Thomas Anderson. So, you know, I'm really looking forward to sitting down and watching it. Your thoughts on that one?
Yeah, I think he'll win Best Director. They've waited too long to give him one. It's well done. I don't know necessarily that as a story it holds together as well as some of the other ones. Mm-hmm. But the direction is good. The editing is good. I think it's the default Best Picture winner. It could win Best Director, Best Picture, Best Screenplay, and maybe one other one. Maybe Supporting Actor. I don't know. But I don't think there's going to be one that's going to just swipe through everything. I really don't. And as much as I love Hamnet, I don't know that Hamnet is in the mix to win a lot of things other than Best Actress. I think if you remember back before, I've said that they usually try to spread it around so that everything that's nominated for Best Picture will get something.
Yeah.
And so, all right, so Hamnet could get Best Actress because she's really, really, really good. And that might be it for them. You know, even though I think it could get Best Director, Best Film, all of that. I think Hamnet is the one I still think is the Best Picture of the year. But Jessie Buckley was just so good. I don't think anybody comes close to her in terms of performance. So that's its one. Then you look at something like Frankenstein. Special effects. That's where it can, or makeup, definitely makeup would be the thing. Jacob Elordi might be a possibility, but I don't think so. He's too young. And when Paul Mescal didn't get nominated for Hamnet, well, why wouldn't, you know, I think they're either going to go old with Stellan Skarsgård, which would give that film its one, or they're going to go with, you know, somebody. There's now, even today, a kind of groundswell for Delroy Lindo for Sinners. And he's good, but the part isn't that big. And I don't think it's that kind of wild that it could, you know, it could pull him in there. Interestingly, Joel Edgerton was kind of the heart and soul of Train Dreams. Train Dreams was nominated for Best Picture, but he wasn't nominated for Best Actor. How does that happen? You know,
it's interesting to see what's kind of getting picked. And there were a lot of little snubs like that with acting categories and just a lot of surprises. I think this year caught a lot of folks off guard. I mean, even, you know, Avatar, you know, nobody expected Avatar to win Best Picture or anything like that, but it was shut out from special effects, right? Or did it? No, it did get a visual effects.
It got one? Did he get one?
Yeah. But there's another one where in the past we probably would have seen it in something with you know, more with sound and
right
editing or some production design or something. And it just feels like there's a bit of a backlash now against some of these films.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. In the old days when they only had five nominees for Best Picture.
Right.
It was easy. And you could look at it now, and really the ones that got the most nominations would be in it. They'd be one of the five.
Yeah.
But you look at some of these other, yeah, Avatar got two nominations.
Yeah.
Okay. Good luck. We're happy for you. But then they've got, you know, some of these other ones where you go, I don't know. Secret Agent, it's a foreign film, four nominations. F1, Best Picture nominee, four nominations, and most of those are technical. So really, is it? Should it be in there? Marty Supreme did okay, and I think it's spread across a number of categories. They're going to open it in IMAX theaters now in the next month. So if you want to see it in IMAX, it evens better. Sentimental Value got better than I thought it would. And I think that's because its company has really pushed it. But it got one, two, three, four acting nominations.
Right.
And most of the three of them, you can't pronounce their names. But it had a good mix of directing, editing, screenplay, picture.
Yeah.
And I think you need that. You need to have that kind of a mix to really be considered a contender. I was glad that Kate Hudson came in for Song Sung Blue because I thought she was good. I thought she did a lot for that. But
well, yeah, and I was going to actually mention that too because it feels like the, I don't know if I call it backlash, but we've had so many musical kind of biopics get nominated, a lot of, you know, whether it was Elvis, it was the Dylan right. movie. And there was a lot of chatter before it came out, you know, would the Springsteen movie do anything? And you know, Jeremy Allen White did get a Golden Globe nomination, but that's another film which it was shut out. There was not a single nomination for it. Now, me as a huge Springsteen fan, and we've talked about this before, I went to see the film. I thought it was okay. I thought it was a fine movie. But there was nothing about it that I thought was Oscar worthy. I thought, you know, maybe they would give Jeremy Allen White a Best Actor right. nomination. But, you know, I thought that was even going to be a stretch. And if you're not giving, I mean, how many actors have been nominated for Best Actor in these musical biopics but never win? You know, so if those previous ones aren't winning, there's no way Jeremy Allen White is going to win. So right. That kind of surprised me. Well, it didn't surprise me that it wasn't nominated, but it was kind of interesting to see there was sort of a music kind of movie get a little bit of love in Kate Hudson getting a nomination for Song right. Sung Blue, which it's not a biopic of sorts, a musical biopic. It's a little bit of a, you know, it's like sort of a, I don't know, a subdomain of the genre, I guess, because you're looking at you know, a cover band kind of thing, but it's it was interesting to see that. And that's another film I'm looking forward to seeing. You just haven't been able to see it yet.
Okay, on the list of nominations for company, Warner Brothers is leading all of it because they've got 30. So that makes sense, right? Because they've got two of the biggest films. But then you look down the list, Universal has one.
Wow.
Universal had Wicked for Good. They should have had more than one. Similarly, the Disney company, four.
Wow.
Now, they also own Focus, which got 13. But, you know, it's a drift. And I don't know that when they start switching this over to YouTube, if that's going to be a good thing for them at all. I mean, me just talking. There was only one actor who was nominated last year that got nominated this year, and that's Timothée Chalamet, and I'm hoping that Timmy wins it. I hope he really does. I would like to see him win it. The only one that would come close would be Leonardo DiCaprio, and he has one. Timmy doesn't. Tim is also nominated for Best Producer for Marty Supreme, and the last time they had somebody that young nominated for Best Producer was Warren Beatty. So I think this is, you know, there's a history here. And if you study it, it's like, why does John Mayer always get Grammys?
Right.
The history there, they kind of like certain people, and those people get a bye all the time. Now, I'm not saying John Mayer doesn't deserve all the Grammys he wins, but it was always like, oh, or is Tony Bennett winning again this year? Because there were ones like that that just kind of play the game. And right. I think that's the case with Timothée Chalamet. He has made it known that he wants to be a player, wants to live up to whatever their standards are, and will be a good winner. In the old days, it was like Frank Sinatra was the standard bearer. And he would always be at the awards, and he would be, you know, talking about how we have to have certain kind of standards and whatnot. And, you know, was he ever the greatest? I don't know. But he held that up. And I think that's where Timmy's headed. And I think that he will win this year. I think that's one we can look at and go, okay, I think that'll happen.
Yeah, well, and he's, you know, the thing with Timothée Chalamet, too, is he's moved into this stratosphere of mega celebrity, right? He's dating Kylie Jenner. He's a New Yorker, and he shows up, like, he's at Knicks games, because I watch Knicks games all the time, and he's there with Kylie, you know, courtside a lot, you know. So he's not somebody who's there is just like, hey, look at me, I'll show up once in a while, but he's entered that rotation of celebrities like Spike Lee and Ben Stiller, who show up and at basically Tracy Morgan basically shows up at every Knicks game now. So he's somebody that I think is kind of entering that level of megastar, you know, that's gotten passed down from whether it was Jack Nicholson to the next person is kind of coming up to him now. I'm kind of curious to see how Marty Supreme does at the Oscars, because it's a film that, you know, you hear from the critics, and the critics are raving about it, but the average moviegoer, it's got a decent score on Rotten Tomatoes, 82%, but I've heard a lot of people talk about it and not love it. So,
In some cases, it really hasn't gotten out into the audience. You know, I think that's why January, February are important for those kind of films, because they had a limited release.
Right.
And so once people now, this will be a jump start where people go, oh, we must see Marty Supreme because it's been nominated for Best Picture and blah, blah, blah. So I think once it gets a little momentum, you might see those numbers go up.
Yeah.
But, you know, some of these ones, I don't know if they even did get released. That's how kind of surprising it is. And that Blue Moon, that came in with a couple of them, and I thought, wow, that's good they did that well. But that was the Ethan Hawke thing, and he was nominated. But was he nominated at the expense of somebody else?
Right.
Who knows? It could have been Joel Edgerton could have been in there, but he got the nomination. But that supporting actress category, come on. Yeah, there, Inga Ibsdotter Lilius from, and I butchered all of that. How would they even know to put her name on the list? You know, and she was very good, but boy, you have to wanna be able to put her in there. And then she's going up against Elle Fanning from her own show.
Right. Which is interesting. You know, did it cancel each other out? That's an interesting category too. So you've got two foreign films there. You've got two kind of like horror movies with Amy Madigan and Weapons, and then Sinners also. Who's gonna win in there?
This is where we saw that with the Golden Globes, where Tiana Taylor could be the one that slips in and wins it.
Right, because it's the only more traditional kind of movie.
Right.
Right? You know, the others are, you know, they're dark horses almost. You get, you know, two from the same movie canceling them out, two horror movies where you just never see anyone in the horror genre win. So there you go. I am kind of rooting a bit for Paul Thomas Anderson to win something. I mean, he's been nominated 11 times previously. And has never been able to win.
He has a good track record. He, You know, he's made great films, and I think he should win Best Director. I thought that was very well directed. The film moves like a house on fire. It just doesn't necessarily make you come to a conclusion that, you know, okay, what was this about? Good question. You know, I think that's what happened. But I think it's his time. It's, you know, they've done worse. And look, that little upstart named Steven Spielberg is in the hunt for Best Picture. He produced Hamnet. So there could be, you know, another way of honoring him.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. Anything else of note on your end that surprised you or not?
Yeah. Oh, you know, I sit and I pore over these things like I'm doing some kind of mathematical equation. F1 is surprising that it got something for Best Picture. Because that is a technical one. That should just have been technical. The interesting thing is more than half of the nominees were, well, all but two, basically, were released after September.
Interesting.
For the Best Picture nominees. So the only two that were before September were Sinners, which was released in April, and F1, which was released in June. And the rest were all September, October, November, December. The last one was Marty Supreme in December 18th. So you see where it still holds that if you're in the back half of the year, your chances are better because the attention is there. Yeah. And then foreign language films are really pushing. They're becoming a more viable candidate. Sentimental Value, Secret Agent, they're in the hunt. So that's interesting. But not my poor Diane Warren, because I love her. But she just topped the most nominations in a row. She got in 9 years. She's been up every year for 9 years. And the last before that was 8, and she was tied for the 8. So I don't say that she'll get it this year, because I'm sure the K-pop people are going to win. But if they want to be snarky and say, you know what, you got to wait a while, K-poppers. We're not giving it to you just yet. And I think that Golden will win big at the Grammys next week. So that might be their way of kind of, and that will be very interesting, because the Wicked for Good women are nominated in the Grammys.
Mm.
And what if they win there, but like nothing here?
Completely shut out from the Oscars. Yeah. Yeah. That's another one where I was surprised. It's just, wow, they didn't, they didn't even get a nomination for
not
as a musical.
A one. You'd think I think it's even worse when they just give you one nomination. It's like, well, we saw your film, but there wasn't anything there that we remembered.
Right. I at least feel good about Diane Warren, because she did get that honorary Academy Award in 2022. So as many times as she's been nominated, and she has been nominated a lot and never won, you at least know that she does have a statuette at home somewhere, right? You know,
well, at least she's good. She doesn't have to freak about it, but it would be nice to see her win so she's not Susan Lucci, but were her songs the best? There were ones that should have won, if you look back at her record. But again, they're not, you can't guess this. You really can't. But if you go to, when you're doing your predictions, just know something that's nominated for Best Picture will get usually, not always, but usually something. There are films that have won nothing and been nominated for a lot. Yeah. And you go, really? Yeah, The Turning Point, there's one for you, nothing. Mm-hmm. So I think Color Purple was another one that went zero, and they had lots of nominations. So Sinners could go zero for 16.
Sure. You know, what I also thought was interesting in a lot of years, especially since they went to the 10 deep, is you'll see one of those animated movies get a nomination also for Best Picture overall. And it's really, none of the films this year really got a lot of buzz. You know, Zootopia was out there. I know it was nominated for animated film, Elio, but I think the biggest buzz of any animated thing this year was K-pop Demon Hunters. So I don't know if that's if that's going to be the favorite in the animated category.
I think it is. Yeah.
But it's kind of interesting that none of those films cracked beyond animated, where in the past you would have seen maybe one of the Disney films sneak into Best Picture, even if it didn't have a shot at winning. So,
well, maybe when we see Toy Story 5,
right,
that will be one of those back in.
Exactly. So, yeah, so a lot going on. I mean, really interesting. We'll have to see. We've got a little bit of time, of course, you know, just to sit back and see movies. Like me, I have not seen a lot of these films, so it'll give me a little bit of an opportunity to start making my list and checking it twice, and maybe I'll see three or four of the Best Picture nominees between now and then. But interesting storylines for sure with the different movies and who was snubbed and who wasn't and the surprises. So kind of looking forward to that. Before we wrap, I don't know if you saw this, but we had a new Game of Thrones show debut.
I have not watched it yet. Is it good?
Yes, it is. It's
the dragons though aren't in it.
No. So can I give you a little spoiler? Like, I'm going to say, you know, it's not a big spoiler, but so at the beginning of the show, like from what I understood until recently, I didn't even realize there was a second spinoff to Game of Thrones coming. And then I saw it was on the list of shows that was debuting this year. So they're actually the new show, A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms, just came out. And then House of the Dragon, I guess, is coming out later this year. And then season two of the new one's going to be next year. And then the final season of House of the Dragon will be the following year. So they're going to kind of, I think they're trying to get into this mode of doing a new show every other year to just kind of, because it takes so long to do these things now that they almost have to have multiple things to kind of keep the wheels spinning. So anyway, the show comes on, and I knew it was going to be a little bit more of a character driven show, whereas the other two are, you know, they're like big and it's special effects and it's just crazy. But the talk here is that this one is going to be a little bit, it's going to be smaller. We're going to see a different type of world, right? So, you know, the show opens with the main character, Sir Dunk, right? He's this knight who's not, you know, he's not the highest of high knights out there, right? He's kind of a little bit down on his luck, but he's, you know, he just has to bury his mentor. And you know, with the first two shows, they might start the show and then all of a sudden you hear the music, right? It's the music plays and then it goes into that opening scene of, and you can watch it and it sort of foreshadows what's to come. So all of a sudden, I think he's like sitting in the rain and everything. It's raining. And then the music, you can start hearing the music slowly play up. Right. And you're like, all right, we're going to cut to it. And then all of a sudden it does this hard cut to Dunk standing behind a tree with his bare butt sticking out, and he's like spraying diarrhea out his butt. I mean, it's my wife is like, what are they doing? And I'm just rolling over, and I said, this is perfect. She didn't understand. She's like, why did they have to show that? And I said, this is actually perfect for the show, because the other two series, we're talking about kings and knights and lords and right. And what they did is they were setting us up like, this isn't the same thing. They cut to this basically a commoner who's sort of a knight, but maybe not. We don't really know a whole lot yet. He's just an average dude who's got average dude problems, which includes dysentery. So it's so funny.
Is he in the books or not?
Yeah, so this is not from the main books that George R. R. Martin did. This is like he did like some short stories, and that's what they did. They turned either a novella or a series of short stories into a TV series. So,
and then he has a little kid with him all the time too.
Yeah, right? Who's Egg. he's bald. My understanding is he's actually noble. He's a Targaryen, one of the dragon, the line of the dragon family.
Is he hiding out or pretending?
That's the understanding here. We really haven't gotten too far yet. So more will be revealed, but that is what I've read and seen.
I think it's a short series too, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, there's only, I think, 6 episodes in this first season, and I don't know if it's going to go beyond 2 seasons. I think it might be just a 2 and done. I'm pretty sure it's confirmed for season 2, but...
Do you have all of the 6 right away, or do you have...
No, it's a weekly, yeah, so that's why I can't share a whole lot. So unless you've got screeners and watched them, that's all I know.
Well, see, that would have been a good thing for a blizzard.
Right. Yep.
If we have a blizzard coming, you want to sit and binge, and it'd be a great time to binge.
Exactly. Exactly.
But
so
you could binge the Oscar nominees.
There you go.
Thing, right?
Exactly. Exactly. So there you go. You know, it's cold out across most of the nation right now. Polar vortexes, snow, all that stuff. So you've got a lot of time. Get your butt to the movie theater. Turn on the TV, start streaming. A lot of these films are already available to stream, whether it's through HBO, Apple TV Plus, rent it on Amazon Prime, whatever you can, or get to the theater and see the ones that are still out there. And you know, get moving on this because we only have a few weeks. So there's your assignment, listeners. Thank you again for listening, and we will be back again next week with another episode of Streamed and Screened.